principles. Now, I know that when you talk about stuff like this, that it's not something that will cause you principles, and shout and praise God and all of that. But when the devil moves against you, this will bail you out. Yes. When things come against you and the brokenness of our world begins to come into your life, you'll thank God for some good principles. Amen. That will keep you standing when things fall apart. So I just want to do a quick recap, and you have a sheet this morning that you can follow me if you want to. We read there in Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter verse 3 that the Lord upholds us. He upholds all things, including us, by the word of His power, by His word. He upholds us. So when things fall apart around us, the word of God will uphold us. Now, we said last week that the word contains principles, precepts, commandments, statutes, laws, testimonies, judgments, and just a whole lot of things that you can summarize into this one thing. The word of God came to us. There's nothing in the Bible that will take away good things from you. Nothing. Everything in the Bible is designed to give you a life of satisfaction and fulfillment. Amen. Everything. The Bible is not designed to rob you. It was written to bless you. Yes. And to bring the goodness of God to you. Amen. And it's worthwhile studying so you discover these things that will enrich your life and bring all those blessings to you that we read of in the Bible. Sometimes when things go wrong, it's because somewhere we've broken a principle or we violated a spiritual law. And then the brokenness of the world comes into our lives. These principles protect us. And when we abide by them, we live by them, we obey them. But when we break them, then the brokenness of this world will catch up on you. That's the problem. So I've learned, last week, Sunday, actually, we saw the passing of Dr. Miles Monroe. What a sad, and what a big tragedy that is for all of us. The fact that I'm here this morning, I can thank his ministry. Because there was a time when we were just down and out. And somebody sent me a tape where he spoke on purpose. And I looked deep inside of me and I said, well, I can teach. I think I can teach. I've never done it, but I'll try. And look, it went around the globe. You never know what's inside of you. So, why did I say that? These principles are designed to bring God's goodness to us and protect us against the brokenness of this world and all the curse. You know, when Adam fell in disobedience, God cursed the earth. You know all about that in the book of Genesis. And the brokenness of this world will affect you. Unless you live by the word that God gave you, that will protect you from that. So the smart thing is, abide in the word. You know, Jesus said that in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, he said, if you abide in my word, which means you have to stay there, you dwell there, you are my disciples indeed. A disciple is a student. He says, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. Some people say, well, I don't have to do that. I just pray. Well, prayer helps for some things, but for other things, you just have to be obedient. Amen. That's all you need to just be obedient to what Jesus said, because that truth will set you free and keep you free. Now, the bad news is there are no shortcuts. Don't try shortcut. Don't try shortcut. If you try a shortcut, you'll get cut short. Don't forget that. If you try, you know, with God, we live in the microwave generation. Everything is quick, 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 quick. But God doesn't care about that. You know, the thing with God is He lives outside of time. He doesn't care. God puts you in the crock pot. And slowly, slowly, slowly. I've very seldom seen fast learners in Christianity. We're slow. It's not God's fault, but we're slow learners. But the best thing we can do for ourselves is to obey the principles, obey the Word of God, know the Word of God, and then obey it. Now, here's the good news. For the best part, you have your blessing in your own hands. You have your own blessing in your own hands. Isn't it amazing that when most people pray, they always say, God bless me. Bless this one, bless that one, bless me, bless everything. But the blessing really comes through obedience. Yes. That's where the blessing comes from. God says, oh, the blessing is in the Word. All you need to do is do what I tell you to do, and you'll be blessed beyond belief. That went over like a lead balloon. But that's God's way of bringing the blessing to us. So now let's look at some principles for powerful living. Living a powerful, successful life. And we touched a little bit on some of these last week, but we'll recap them. Because we learn by repetition, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word. It's not good enough to hear it once. You've got to repeat it over and over and over. That's why we need to continue read the Bible. And the more you read it, the more you will remember. So here's the first principle. And I believe that this is the greatest of all principles, spiritual law. It's a spiritual law that God activated Himself. And that we find that in Luke 6, verse 38. It's in your notes. It says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the measure, the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, if you read the verses before this one, you'll see it covers a whole variety of things. It's not, I know sometimes we use that to increase money, but it actually does, it works everywhere else as well. It's a basic principle that works everywhere. So let's think about a few things. Friendship. If you don't have friends, maybe if you give some friendship, you'll find some friends. And it says here, when you give, you will not just receive what you gave. It says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's the principle. Is you always get more than you gave. You always receive more than what you gave away. Love works that way too. That you cannot, you know, for you to be loved, you need to give love. Amen. Even if you're married 30 years and 40 years. That doesn't change. You got to sow so that you can reap. Kindness. Here's another one, energy. I like this one. How many of you are tired? I didn't ask for honesty now. I just ask who's tired. Well, if you want energy, you got to give energy. You go jogging or go to the gym or something, you'll find out how energy begins as you spend energy, how your energy is replenished, not just by what you gave, but pressed down, shaken together, running over. It'll increase. You always get more than you gave. You got to sow. That's the principle. For you to receive, you got to give. But you must give what you want. Now, we need to say that a few times. You must give what you need. Somebody says, well, how can I give what I need? If I need it, I don't have to give. You do have. You do have. I read in the Bible when a poor old widow came, and all she had was 2 copper coins. And she gave it. That's all she had. What can you do with 2 copper coins? Maybe not much. But if you give it, more will come back. Right? Some say, well, that's unfair. That's unfair to say that in church. Well, there was a time when God sent the prophet to another widow, a single mother. Isn't that interesting? That when God wants to take care of people, or when he wants to use an example, he uses single widows, single mothers. And he sent this prophet to the single mother, and he said, give me something to drink. She says, well, I something to eat. She says, well, I'm just actually busy preparing our last meal for my son and myself. That's all we have. After this, we'll die. Here comes the unfairness. He says, well, go bake that cake, whatever it is, bread, but feed me first. How many of you know that sounds arrogant? How arrogant is that to say, well, give me your last meal? But he activated the principle. He activated the principle. The Bible says when she did that, when she, crazy as it sounded, when she did what he told her to do, she never ran out of food until the drought was over. The principle. It's a principle that was activated that day. So, and money. You know, we always talk about money. Everybody needs money. I've never found a person that doesn't need money. You can go to Warren Buffett and all these billionaires, and they'll tell you, I need money. I'm in the market to make money. The problem is, some people say, well, don't talk about money. The people who say that are the ones that love money. And the Bible says if you love money, you'll pierce yourself through with many sorrows. So the love for money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love for money. And God actually gives us a way to increase our money. Are you okay with that? Who doesn't want to increase money? So the way to give, the way to receive is to give. So that's the first principle. Do you know that God himself used that principle? We touched on that last week. But I want to go back to that. It says in John 3:16, it says that God gave his son. God gave his son to die for our sins, to reap the wages for our sins, which is death. And lost him, so to speak. He lost him. God had no guarantee that anybody would respond to that sacrifice. He had no guarantee. It was an act of faith. But when he gave his son, Hebrews tells us there in chapter 2, verse 10, for it was fitting for him, Jesus, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Many sons. So when God wanted many sons, he had to give a son. Amen. That includes the ladies. And don't feel bad about it, because us men are also part of the bride of Christ, and we're okay with that. Well, God brought many sons to glory because he gave a son. That was the way to get sons back, was to give. He had to give what he needed, what he wanted. That's the principle. That's the law. Now, it doesn't make sense to our carnal minds, but that's God's wisdom. That you got to give what you need. You give what you want. Do we all have it? Because, boy, this is life-changing. If you can do this, if you can, you go into, you look into your life and see what you need. Maybe your marriage is not what it can be. Well, then you give some more love. Give some more kindness. Give some more friendship. Maybe you don't like that. And that's possible. But that will change your marriage. Amen. That will change your marriage. Now, don't expect if you've sown that seed today, the harvest will be there tomorrow. We need to have some wisdom and understand a season goes over it. And you need to be faithful in that season to keep on sowing until that harvest comes in. Let's go to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. I will read verses 5 and 6. It says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Why would you sow in tears? Here's the picture. I can either give this seed to my children, my family to eat, in which case it will be full for a day or two, or I can say, I'm sorry, this is all we have. We got to sow it because we need a harvest. So you sow in tears. You make that tough decision. I'm going to sow. I must sow because I need to look at the future. I need this harvest to come in. So you sow in tears. But it says, he who continually, everybody says continually, he who continually goes forth, the margin says, to and fro. To and fro. You go and you come back, and you go and you come back. You sow and you come back. You sow and you come back. Continually. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless, everybody says doubtless.
Doubtless.
Doubtless, without doubt. Come again with rejoicing. The margin says, with shouts of joy. With shouts of joy. But you got to sow continually. And you sow with weeping and tears. I saw on Twitter this a while back that somebody said, that T.D. Jakes says, the tool of sowing is weeping. No, I didn't say that. If you don't like that, you call T.D. Jakes and tell him, I don't like what you said. But think about it. The tool of sowing is weeping. You sow what you have. You give what you want. You give what you need. How many of you know that hurts? That hurts. The problem is, if you hold on to what you have, and that's another principle, and we'll get to that, that will be all that you have. If you hold on to it, that will be all that you have. There will be nothing else. That will be all. That will be it. And it might not last long. But if you sow it, then it increases. It comes back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It multiplies. It multiplies when you let go of it. All right, well, let's go to principle number two here. And that is close to principle number one. You gain what you give up, but you lose what you hold on to. You gain what you give up, what you let go. They'll come back to you. Matthew 10:39. He who finds his life will lose it. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. That means you got to die to yourself. You got to die to yourself. You cannot live two lives. Just as you cannot serve two masters. You got to die to yourself so that Christ can live in you and through you. Amen. You have to die to yourself. And if I can help you a little bit, it's hard to die. It's hard to die because you do it daily. You do it daily. You die daily. Apostle Paul says, I die daily. It's a daily thing that you die. But then Christ lives in you, and that's where the joy is. That's where the fulfillment is. That's where the victory is. Because Christ was never defeated. Do you know that the best they had in his day came to him with tricky questions, and he could answer every single one of them. Because it's him. That life can be in you, but you got to die to yourself. How many of you are just happy to hear that? Well, I look at some of you, I think I'm doing a funeral service here. But what you give up is what you'll gain. Amen. And not just what you gave, but it will come back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. It comes back with increase to you. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, and a verse that we all ought to know, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, and what he's talking about is what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we wear and all of that stuff. All those things will be added to you. Isn't that amazing? That is the covenant summarized in one verse. The covenant goes like this. What you have belongs to me, and what I have belongs to you. That's covenant. Boy, I tell you, that's a powerful covenant. And we ought to walk in this covenant that we have with God. Amen. Because covenant binds us to him. It makes us one with him. When we started our ministry in 1990, I was a bank manager at a head office. We lived a good life. And we were leaving not only a secure job and income, we left our country. We burned all the bridges behind us. There was no turning back. And I remember after we packed all our stuff into a container, it was sitting there in the driveway. That night I didn't sleep well. But I made a contract with God. I said to him, I will look after your children, you look after mine. Well, that's covenant language. That's the covenant that we have. And I decided I'm not going to worry about anything because I made this contract with God. And we left with two small boys into a foreign country. And I, as a bank manager, budget was big in my head. And I said to myself, I will not leave unless our budget is met before we leave. When we sat on the plane that day with our family, we had about 25% of our budget in promises. And if you know anything about promises, not much. But we never went hungry, we never went cold, and we never went without. Covenant. Covenant. God says, seek first the kingdom and right standing with me, and I will add all these things to you. I like to look at it this way. If we work on God's dream, He will work on ours. What is God's dream? It is not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the Son of God. That's His dream. Not a single person lost. Not a single person lost. You work on that dream, He'll work on yours. You spend your life working on God's dream, He will add those things that you need. It's covenant. It's the principle that He gives us. He said, if you want all these things that the Gentiles work so hard for, if you want that, put my kingdom first. That's how you get it. Come on now. Now, I know it doesn't make a lot of sense to our carnal minds, but that's Jesus Himself speaking. You can say, well, yeah, you can still question the Apostle Paul, although I'll never do that. But this is in the red in your Bible. Jesus said it. He said it. And if He said it, I think we can believe it. Amen. Put the kingdom first. And all these things shall be added to you. That means you don't work on your own kingdom. You work on His kingdom.
Amen.
Then He'll work on yours. You okay with me?
Yes.
Principle number three for today. Now, I cannot give you all the principles, but the Bible is full of them. But as you study the Bible, you'll find them. You say, whoops, this looks like a principle to me. This looks like a decree. This looks like a commandment. And when you hear the word commandment, don't think of the Ten Commandments. That's not what the New Testament's talking about. The New Testament talks about two commandments.
Amen.
You love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And if you do those two, you've done more than the ten. Principle number three for today is faith working through love. Now you know that God, everything works with faith. Even your salvation is faith. You got to believe it. That's the only thing you have. How many of you are born again? Can I see your birth certificate? You have nothing to prove it. But it's believe. You believe it. That's why you have it. It comes by faith. That's the only... Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I cannot see your new birth certificate. But faith says it's the evidence. Faith is the evidence. I believe it. That's why we know it. And that's why we have it. Galatians 5, verse 6, and we read from the Message translation. It says, for in Christ, neither our most conscientious religion nor disregard of religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior in the heart, right? Faith expressed in love. Faith expressed in love. Now, these two got to go together. Faith without love is mind over matter. It's the power of positive thinking. But that's not God, right? Now, there's power there. But if you want to go into the supernatural, you got to do it God's way. Amen. So faith works through love. Faith and love go they have to go together. The two. So faith is acting on God's word because you believe. You believe God's word, that's why you do it. Amen. Why will you give away what you need? Because you believe. Yes. You take action on what you believe. Somebody says, yeah, I believe it. But you keep everything. Well, that doesn't help you. Because faith is not a thought, it's action. Amen. It's something that you do. Amen. It's something that you do. No wonder Jesus one day wants to say to us, well done. Right. Not well thought. Well done. You do because you believe. Yes. Faith is manifested when you take action. When you put some energy into it. Some effort, you do something. That's when faith is activated. Listen, the devil also believes in God. But he will never do the will of God. That faith doesn't help him. So faith is acting on God's word because you believe. To love is to willingly obey God. To willingly obey Him. Not just obey Him. Willingly obey Him. You know, in the Old Testament, the Israelites knew that if they could keep the law, and if they missed it, they could sacrifice for it. They bring a sacrifice. As long as they did all of that, God was obliged to bless him. Bless them. He was obliged because of covenant. But there came a time, and we read about it there in the book of Malachi, where God says, your sacrifices make me sick. He says, because your hearts are far from me. Oh, they obeyed, but they didn't love him. They didn't do it willingly. They did it with it grinding their teeth. It was a business deal. It was a business deal. But God's not into business deals. Oh, he'll give you more business than you can handle. He even says that. But what he's looking for is love. That's what he's after. He's after your heart. That is what he is after. He's after your heart. So, love is to willingly obey God, but also to love our neighbor in a tangible way. You know, the Bible talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The wonderful gifts, 9 of them. And those gifts are for the benefit of people that have needs. Gifts of healings, prophecy that brings encouragement, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, things like that, miracles. And they are there to benefit people. But if you don't love the person, then that's going to be an ego trip that you're on. And God's not into that. He wants you, when that person's need touches your heart because you love that person, that gift will rise up inside of you and be released through you to that person. But love is the key. Love is the key. You know, Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But then he goes into chapter 13 and he says, now hope and faith and love remain. But the greatest of these is what?
Love.
It's love. Because love activates the whole thing. Yes. Love activates that faith. So, the principle of faith working through love is an act of faith, that is energized by love. It's an act of faith that is energized by love. I think we ought to do a lot more loving.
Amen.
And especially loving the unloving, the unloved. Love the ones that sometimes are a little hard to love. Because then you'll see people ask, why don't we see miracles? I think we miss some principles.
Yes.
I think we miss some principles in our life. If we would activate some of these principles, we'll see a lot more of how God works through us. So number four, we're going to rush through this. Obedience, principle of obedience. Romans 6 verse 16 says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. So, you are free to obey who you want. You can obey who you want. We see that all around us. And sometimes we obey somebody who we shouldn't obey. But we choose, right? We choose. Every day, so many times we make that decision. I'll obey this or I'll obey that. I'll obey this one or that one. I choose. So you are free to obey who you want. You obey God or His Word. Or you obey sin. But who you obey will be your master. The one, you choose your master. You choose your own master. Adam was God's steward. And God was his master. As long as he obeyed God, things were fine. He lived in paradise. There was an overabundance of good things. As a matter of fact, there was no evil there. He only knew good. The only thing Adam knew was good. He knew no evil at all. He knew nothing bad. As long as he obeyed God, and God was his master. When he chose another master, things went wrong. That's where things went wrong. Do you know what he did? The master he chose, Jesus calls him a thief and a murderer that came to steal and to kill and to destroy. He chose him to be his master. And look what happened to the world and humanity because of that decision. Now, we can make a better decision today and choose a better master. Because the one that we choose, we should choose, is the one that said, I lay down my life so you can have it. It says, I have come to give you life, and that more abundantly. So, obedience. The one that you choose to obey will be your master. And there are two masters. The one will give you life and that more abundantly, and the other one will take what you have. Now you choose. that decision. You see why I said in the beginning that our blessing is in our own hands. It comes through your decision. It comes through the one that you choose as master. And I don't really need to have to say this, but don't you think the devil can bless you? Don't go there. He knows what bait to put on the hook to catch you. And once you got that hook in your jaw and he begins to reel you in, oh, you will find out there's no blessing there. He's a bad master. He's a slave driver. Obey sin and it will be your master that leads you to death. Death of joy, of peace, of health, overall well-being, success. You name all those good things. He will bring death to that. You obey God's word and it will lead you to righteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God, the God from whom all blessings flow. Okay, let's do the last one, the charter. We have a charter of rights in Canada. That's the big law that governs all the other laws in the nation, the charter. If there's a question, the judges will always look at the charter, the constitution. They always go back to that because that's the governing law. Charter of Rights. Now, every country has a charter or constitution. And that's that basic law that I just told you about. Now, there are two spiritual countries. And you live in either one of them. The one is the kingdom of God, where God is king. And then there's a dominion of darkness, or the power of darkness, where the devil is king. You've got two spiritual countries. And two kings, and two charters. There are two basic laws that govern these two countries. And we have the freedom to choose under which law we want to live. That's our free choice. We make that decision. God doesn't force anybody. That's what I like about God. God doesn't force anybody. I hate to force people because then I do what God doesn't do. You cannot force, you cannot manipulate, you cannot put pressure because that's not how God does things. He gives you a free choice. So we can choose the law that we live under. Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness, that's the kingdom, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's the other kingdom. That's God's kingdom. Now, Romans 8 verse 2 says this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's the law of God's kingdom. The law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus, that's the law, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Two laws. I can choose to live under the law of life in Christ Jesus. That law will set me free. Doesn't matter what the devil brings against me, that law will always set me free. How many of you know the story of John G. Lake? When he was in Africa way back. And when the plague was there, it was kind of what the Ebola is today. It's very, very contagious and always deadly. And people were dying. The nurses were dying. The doctors were dying. Everybody that helped these people and even buried the dead people got the plague and died. He went up there and worked with these people and buried people and nothing ever happened to him. They figure out one day, we better go check this man out. Because there's something, he knows something that we need to know. They asked him. They said, well, put some of that foam that comes out of the mouth of these patients, put it on my hand, and then put it under the microscope. And then you'll see. And the moment it touched him, those viruses died. Those germs, they died. He said, well, how come? He said, the law of the life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. I live under that law. Amen. That's why I don't get sick. Amen. That's why this thing cannot touch me. I live under that law. Boy, that's a powerful law. Yes. Man, if we could choose to live under that law day after day, can you imagine what life will be like? That's the life that God chose for us. He says, all you need to do is obey that law. But the law of sin and death, that's the one that kills you. That's the one that robs you. So we choose that we have the freedom to choose. The law of life in Christ Jesus sets you free, but the law of sin and death will kill you. One small dose at a time. It will kill your health. It will kill your peace. It will kill your finances. It will kill your marriage. It will kill everything about you. Slowly, 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 slowly. That's how the devil works, slowly. Slowly, he injects you every day. Little injection, little injection, little injection. And builds up in your life until it kills you. The law of sin and death. That's what the devil does. He came to kill. But Jesus came to give life. Amen. And the choice is ours to make. Principles, spiritual laws that God gave us to live by. And so it is up to us to make that decision. Our blessing is in our hands, for the greatest part at least. But you know, when the devil comes against you and he stacks up circumstances and he starts to kill you and rob from you, and you are under that law of life in Christ Jesus, it will move against this law of sin and death and set you free from whatever the devil is trying to put on you. Yes. It will set you free. That's the law of God. That's the law of the country, of the kingdom. It guarantees freedom to its citizens. It's a law that says, I want you to be free. And whatever the devil comes to bring against you, it will kill that off. And will keep you free. It will make you free and keep you free. Amen. Jesus said, I have come to seek and save those, or that which was lost. To save them. And to bring freedom to us, to set us free, so that we will be free. For freedom, Christ has made us free. And so, the Bible comes to us, and he says, well, here's the way. God speaks in the Old Testament through the prophet, and he says, I am he, I am the God who teaches you to profit. Teach you. I read in the New Testament that Jesus said, or the Bible says, and Jesus taught them many things. Why would he teach us many things? Because we need a lot of teaching. We need a lot of teaching. Boy, and I tell you, that's what the Holy Spirit came to do. He's our teacher. He brings the Word of God to us to set us free and keep us free. Everybody says principles.
Principles.
Laws.
Laws.
Commandments.
Commandments.
Statutes.
Statutes.
Decrees.
Decrees.
Judgments.
Judgments.
Are designed to make me free.
Yes. Are designed to make me free.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you break God's laws, don't think prayer will fix that. You know, prayer will fix a lot of things, but if you're disobedient, you've got to fix that.
Yes.
And then it will just be okay. God will not condone, and he will not change his principles for you, his laws just for you, because you find it so hard. No, he's not going to change his principles and his laws just because you find it so difficult to keep them. You make the adjustment. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's all stand. Father, we bless you this morning. Lord, I thank you for this word that you gave us. I know that these words will never pass away. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. What a strength, what a rock we stand on when we stand on your word. Father, I pray this morning that revelation knowledge will flow into every heart in this room. Open our eyes, Lord, our spiritual eyes, and give us spiritual understanding, so we can walk in your ways and taste and see that the Lord is good. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for every one of us, Lord, that as we go through life day by day, that your word will be in our hearts and in our mouth to speak freedom and the wisdom of God in every situation. Blessed is your name. Amen. Amen.